So, Father, we want to thank you that we gather around your word, and we thank you that it doesn't take many words to get across what your spirit wants to get across today. So we stand on your word of truth, and we thank you for the spirit of truth in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been in a series on worship. And I'm more convinced than ever that our mindset on worship has to change. I'm going to be really quick. I'm going to be short, sharp, to the point. I love the laughing thing. I love the laughing thing. Wasn't that good that so many people are being impacted by laughter down the main street of Bundaberg? Like, come on. Anyway, our mindset on worship, it has to change. Because it's become this religious thing that we do between 10 and 12 on a Sunday or in other times. But that's, you know, and in some churches it's between 10 and 11 and that's it. Or 9:30 and 10:30. And worship has been put in a box. But it was never meant to be put in a box. Just like prayer was never meant to be put in a box. Giving was never meant to be put in a box. These things were never meant to be put in a box with a tick and flick thing that I've done my worship this week. Now I can just go. No, true biblical worship is a response to the one who came and gave his life. He humbled himself unto death, death on a cross. And the act of worship, the position of our hearts of worship, is a response to Him. How can that ever be contained to 2 hours a week? It can't. If we really are walking in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is truly in us, it cannot be contained. Just the way giving can't be contained. Oh, I gave my offering this week and, oh no, I don't give anymore. But hang on a minute, there's a brother or sister who has need. No, I don't. You know, we just put everything in a box. We need to break the box. The church in Australia needs to break the box on worship. I'm not saying that Hillsong and places like that haven't done good things for the body of Christ. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that it's kind of brought us into a mindset that worship is singing a few songs with a guitar and drums, and that's our worship. But biblically, our lives are worship. The loving people is worship. Serving people is worship. Giving to people is worship. Washing the dishes, if our hearts are, you know, with the Lord, is worship. You can drive the car and you can worship. You can go to work and you can worship. What would happen if Christians started to worship in the workplace? And I don't mean by singing a song. I mean by the attitude of your hearts being before God, that you lived lives of worship. What would happen? I can tell you what would happen. The worship gets let out of the building and it starts to flow into our homes and our families and the streets and our businesses, and people's lives are starting to be touched by the presence of God. So, when Satan was tempting Jesus, he tempted him at where he was. He just spent 40 days fasting. Anyone ever done a 40-day fast here? One. Wow, that's awesome. Like, really? Like, 40 days. Oh, two. Sorry, two. He was hungry. It actually says he was hungry. And the first time he came to him, he was tempting him. But Jesus' response was, no, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. But the enemy kept coming. He kept coming for him in different ways. And then he used scripture out of context. Now, doesn't that happen a lot? People use scripture, but out of context. And it becomes very dangerous. Even the enemy does that. But Jesus said, it is also written, do not test the Lord your God. And then the devil took him up. This is verse 8 of Matthew 4. The devil took him up to a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, I will give you all of these things if you fall down and worship me. And Jesus said, go away, Satan. Don't you love that? Go away, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the devil left him. To worship is to serve, and to serve is to worship. The word, the root word is the same. You've heard me say this. This is why in Joshua, some translations say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And others say, as for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. Because it's about the position of our heart, amen? Whatever we're going through, we're on the highest of mountains, we're in the lowest of valleys. It is only the position of our heart before God. When stuff comes against you and things happening, it's all about the position of our heart. For as Eddie reminded us, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And last week I said, what has your heart? If you're speaking about cars all the time, Tom and I were talking about this later. If you're talking about cars all the time, that means they're in here. Cars are really important to you because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. But in the same way, if you're critical and judgmental and stuff all the time, it's actually showing what's in your heart. That's why we need to come back to the heart of worship. We need to come. The church in our nation needs to come. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus afresh. And we need to let go, in the words of Hebrews 12, of anything that hinders and any sin that entangles us. And we need to fix our eyes on Jesus and we need to run the race. You know, you can't run very well when you're entangled. You ever tried that? Just remember the three-legged races when you're at school. You know, they're just like tripping over each other. They were entangled. That's why he says, just get rid of it. It's not mine. Get rid of the yoke. Get rid of the burden. Get rid of it. Fix your eyes on me and just start walking with me. It's a decision. Jesus said, you know, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, but we have to make the decision to walk in the authority. And I'm not just talking about casting out demons in Jesus' name or be healed in Jesus' name. The authority that you have to actually forgive, because Jesus said forgive. We lose that authority when we don't operate in it. Paul is one of my heroes in the faith. He said to the church in Philippi, he said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now there is a man who had a heart of worship. He was the Jew of Jews. He was the religious of the religious. And yet when he met Jesus, he realized that everything he had, he considered as dung, as rubbish. He had to get rid of it for the sake of knowing Christ. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. He says, after a few verses after he says that, in Philippians 1, verse 21, he says, as citizens of heaven, live your life worthy of the gospel of Christ. Wow, isn't that a verse that packs a punch? As citizens of earth, as citizens of, you need to say, I'm a citizen of heaven. As citizens of heaven, live your lives worthy of the gospel. That is not a religious thing. That's not a dutiful thing. That is out of the overflow of the heart. As a citizen of heaven, with Jesus as my rock, as my cornerstone, the one that I'm focused upon, I live my life worthy of the gospel. And when people look at us, they see Christ. They see the love, they see the mercy, they see the forgiveness, they see the power, they see the intimacy, they see Jesus. And the Australian needs to see Jesus, Christ in us, the hope of glory. If we don't portray Christ to our nation, who else will? They don't need another Lions Club or Probus Club or Bingo Club or Country Women's Association. And they definitely don't need Masonic Lodge. No, we pull that out in Jesus' name. They need Jesus. Amen? They need Jesus. That's why we sing, Jesus for my family. Jesus. I shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus. But it can only come from that place of first love. And contrary to something I heard and I shared a while ago, our marriage is as strong as it's ever been. I love my wife. Next Sunday, don't tell her I told you this. Next Sunday is our 29th wedding anniversary. Next Sunday. We'll be here. It's okay. She'll be here too. I honestly... Sorry. I'm big sop. I love her more than I did 29 years ago. Apart from Jesus, she's my first love. And she still is. And you know what? I wouldn't do intentionally, I wouldn't do anything to hurt her. Occasionally, I probably do. I don't hear that. But you live. You live for the one. You live for the one. And I've shared this before, and I'm sorry, but there's some new people. I'm just going to share it quickly. But when we first started courting, you know, there wasn't mobile phones, there wasn't internet, there wasn't texting, there was those old phones that used to go... And, you know, they were like cords, like these stretchy cords, and you tried to get as far away from the phone without pulling it off the wall. Anyone else ever... Anyway... We used to spend hours on the phone every day talking to each other. And my dad used to say, will you get off the phone? You only saw her yesterday. But that's first love. And this is why the Holy Spirit wants to breathe upon the coals of our hearts and let the fire burn, because we need to love Jesus like that. It's not a religious thing where I need to see so many people saved and I need to show so many people Jesus. And no. But it's out of the love that we have and that relationship with Jesus that it just shows. And you're laughing in the main street. And someone gets it. Because it's not the laughter. It's the presence of God. It's the Holy Spirit. And they say, I need what you've got. That's exactly what we say. Don't put Jesus in a box. Live for Jesus. And people will start to say, I need what you've got. When there's stuff happening around and people are scared and worried and upset, but you just walk in peace and you walk in confidence, you watch what people say. How can you be so peaceful? How can you be so confident? Well, let me tell you, Jesus. I'm really trying to condense this. Let's just, the world, the idol that's in the world today is me. Not me, like is in me. Me. Do whatever makes you feel good. Whatever truth you believe, that is truth. It's all about me. Me is the idol. People have started to worship the created things rather than the creator. But the me, it's the moving picture song from the 1970s. I remember that because my brother used to play it to me. What about me? It isn't fair. I've had enough and I want my share. That is the idol that is in our nation. Whatever is good for you, do it. However you feel makes you feel good, you do it. It's me. Well, that idol needs to come down and it needs to start in the Church of Jesus Christ in this nation. Because it's not about me, it's about Him. And as we live for Him, we start to realize that it's actually about others. Because people matter to God. And that's why my phone is always on, and that's why I am always available, because people matter to God. So people should matter to us. I want to finish with these couple of things. David was a worshiper. Amen? A heart after God. We read that in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 13. Let me go there quickly. 1 Samuel 13. Verse 14, Samuel said to Saul, you have been foolish. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. It was at this time that the Lord would have permanently established your reign over Israel. But now your reign will not endure, because the Lord has found a man after his own heart. And the Lord has appointed him as ruler over the people. We read that in Acts 13, verse 22. The Lord said, I have found a man after my own heart. You see, the world looks at the external things. The world looks at the outward things, but God looks at the heart. That's why we should never stand in judgment against someone because we don't know their heart. We look at things from an outward perspective, but we actually don't know the heart. So who are we to judge another man's servant when we don't know the heart? And then, but the Lord said of David, and this is prophetic, he said in Amos 9:11, he said, I will restore David's fallen tent and I will establish it as it was. There was some principles in David's tent, the tabernacle, the temple, that wasn't in Moses and it wasn't in the grandeur of Solomon. You see, gold and silver and stuff doesn't interest God in a sense because God owns all that. He's looking at the heart. There was something about David. There was something about his heart. The presence of God was central to David. He wouldn't do anything without the presence of God. That's why he needed to bring the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem where it's meant to be, because he was grieved that the presence of God was not where it should be amongst God's people. And that should be our heart. God, we want more. Yes, God is with us wherever we go. Yes, wherever two or three are gathered, God is amongst. But hang on a minute. I want to see the manifest presence and glory of God in such a way that if someone walked through the door of here or 410 Tython Street in a few weeks' time, they will fall prostrate and say, the Lord is truly among you. Isn't that what we want? Because then God gets all the glory. The Lord is here. The Lord healed me. The Lord saved me. The Lord is my deliverer. Not, oh, that team was really good today. They did a good job. And they did do a good job. I'm not saying they didn't. But the Lord. Says for David, key, presence of God, central. Secondly, he was a humble man. He had a repentant heart. That's why God said he's a man after my own heart. Because David sinned. David sinned really badly. I mean, I know sin is sin, but he sinned really badly. Desiring another man's wife and having him killed and taking her, I mean, that's like out there. But you know what? He was deceived in that moment. There was stuff going on in him and he started to lose sight of the Lord and he was desiring other things. But you know, when the prophet Nathan came to him and said, David, you have done wrong, he repented and he humbled himself before the Lord. That is another reason why God said, I am restoring that tent. Presence of God, humble, repentant heart. And the last one was in 2 Samuel 6, and I looked at this a few weeks ago, that the worship of David to the Lord was unrestrained. When they were finally, bless you, when they were finally bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem, you know, here was David. Remember I said how he took off his kingly robes. He was wearing a priestly garment, a linen ephod with short kind of legs. It wasn't underwear as we think boxers. It was, he took off his kingly robe and he wore a priestly garment, a linen ephod, with room to move so he could actually bend and move. And he was celebrating and he was worshiping. Don't worry, I'm not going to pull a hamstring this week. He was celebrating and he was worshiping the Lord. He was just in joy, not because of that, but because the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, was being returned to its rightful place among the people of God. The Lord's looking for people who will not put worship in a box, but it'll be unrestrained. Music team, you can come. So let me finish with this. I haven't done too bad, really. Let my people go that they may worship me. That was the verse of scripture we started with. Let my people go that they may worship me. So my question to you today as we finish this short series is, what has your heart? What has your heart? If God is speaking and saying, let my people go, what is he speaking to in your life? What is he speaking to? Let my people go that they may worship me. Is it like the rich young ruler who had so much stuff, so much possessions and money that he couldn't give it up? Is it people? Is it positions? Is it titles? Is it the fear of man? What people think of you? You know some of the stumbling blocks? One is the religious spirit, because it wants to despise and it wants to shut it down. The religious spirit hates the flow of the Holy Spirit. Do we get that? I said the religious spirit wants to stop the flow of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Hates it. That's why Saul kept chasing David, wanting to kill him, because David was free. Saul was bound. The religious spirit. The fear of man. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man is a snare. If you carry a fear of man, you are not free to worship the Lord as he should be worshipped. Because you're always thinking about what if someone sees me? What if someone thinks of me bad? Let go. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Traditions of men. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees in Matthew 15 and he says, why do you break God's commandment for the sake of your tradition? Not all traditions are bad. But if a tradition gets in the way of us walking, living, worshiping Christ, then it's a problem. There are churches today that have traditions. We only do communion once a month or once a quarter. Well, let's do it as the Bible says, whenever we get together, we break bread. That's a tradition. I remember challenging a friend of mine who was part of the Salvation Army one day, and I said to him, why don't you baptize people? Why don't you baptize them? There's always traditions that have gotten in somewhere along the way. As I said, not every tradition is bad. But if it stops us from following Jesus the way we should, then maybe it's got to go. I was filled with a lot of traditions. I was told that tongues was of the devil. I was told that prophecy had ceased. I was told with all kinds of things that God had to set me free on. I struggled to raise my hands, even though the Bible says, lift your hands and worship to the Lord. Fear of man, traditions of men. Or maybe it's just pride. Maybe pride is a stumbling block. I can't come down the front. I can't lay prostrate before the Lord. I can't go and share my faith with that person. I can't go and give that. I can't do that. The Lord says, let my people go that they may worship me. So I pray that you would take that thought away and say, Lord, what is stopping me from worshiping you? Sometimes it's just a matter of years. And you need the Spirit of God to breathe on your heart to let the fire burn. You need the first love fire back again. Sometimes friendships can grow a bit dim. You need to rekindle it. But I just want to say, it's time to worship the Lord. It's time to worship Him. It's time to worship Him. With all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength, it's time to worship Him. It's time to let go of the things that have entangled us, the sin, to let go of the constraints, to let go of anything that stops us and worship Him. My prayer is that we will see more and more believers in Bundaberg live for Jesus 24/7 And because of that, there'll be more salvations, there'll be more healings, there'll be more signs, more wonders, more miracles, more testimonies, because we've just chosen to live for Jesus. So today, if that's you, if you feel like something has been in the way, maybe you just feel a bit jaded in your walk, maybe you just feel a bit tired, today is the day to be renewed. Today is the day to receive prayer. Because you know what? God moves through prayer. Come to Jesus today. You're not coming down the front because I've said, but you're coming to Jesus. You're stepping out of the holy place and you're into the holy of holies, figuratively speaking. Say, Jesus, I just rekindle my love for you. Breathe upon the coals of my heart. Let your fire burn in me more and more and more, God. More, God. More of you, Jesus. Let me live for you. Let me breathe. Let me speak of you. Let my life be a life of worship unto the King. You are my King, Jesus.